Live from Houston, Texas, this is Big Ideas Small Business with your host, Laura Camrath and Brian Gendron. And now, the music of Max Flynn.
I'm starting to feel a little crazy again. I think it's time I start to pack my things.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Laura Camrath. How
hey,
are you today?
Hey, Brian Gendron. How's it going?
Man, it's going well. This is 3 weeks in a row for us.
Yeah, welcome to Big Ideas Small Business, everybody.
Big Ideas Small Business. And so, I have a wizard beard on Laura's camera.
It looks like my Facebook Live is giving us googly eyes and all kinds of stuff over there. So
I say we go with it.
I know.
I say we go with it.
Yeah.
So it's actually what we're going to be covering later. We'll be covering some interesting things with Facebook, so that's kind of appropriate. Now I look like a fox.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It's fun.
All right.
So what are we going to talk about today?
So today we're talking about how to attract your dream client. Ideal client.
Yes, my dream clients.
I think, you know, as small business owners and entrepreneurs, I think we've all had a nightmare client or some sort of project that just drags on forever or something that just, you know, oh God, this is not what I want to do for the rest of my life, you know.
And we'll spend some time on how to unattract those types of clients. I've got some strategies there as well. So your dream client. So I think when you first start your business or you start your sales job, right, you will take, it seems like in many ways, anybody and anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all fall for that trap. And you almost have to narrow your focus down to really understand what it is that clients, what the ideal client is for you. So it's a process, I think.
Yeah.
And everybody goes through it. So it's okay if you've picked up a lot of the wrong clients or you're struggling in this, a lot of people go through it.
Mm-hmm.
I did with my company. And so now we're in the process of narrowing down, what does the ideal client look like? What are the most profitable clients? Mm-hmm. And Laura has some great tips and ideas about how we find who that is and how we find more of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of small business owners and entrepreneurs, especially when we're starting out, we have this fear of alienating people. That, you know, I don't want to narrow it down too much because what if somebody doesn't come to me because I didn't include them in my messaging? And the reality is that if you're not talking to someone in particular or you don't have a focused message, that the people you do want to hear you aren't going to hear you. And so the problem is we kind of get in this zone of, you know, I don't want to narrow my niche down too much to where people say, oh, you know, that person, they don't serve people like me. But the truth is, when you narrow your message, you can still appeal to a wider variety of people, but the people that you really do want to find you are going to find you.
That's probably true, but that wasn't really my fear. My fear when I'm selling is that I'm just not going to find enough customers to pay my rent.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. So you feel like you have to come at it with this net. You got to cast a net or shoot a bird shot as opposed to a sniper rifle. And the reality is you really do want a sniper rifle. Sorry, I'm going Texas analogy here with the guns.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's imperative that you have the right message to the right target, and that's the only way you're going to get the right clients. Otherwise, it's almost more luck than anything.
Yeah. You know, like, you know, when you're scrolling Facebook and you see ads, and you know, if I see something maybe tailored specifically to women entrepreneurs who have marketing businesses, I'm going to be a lot more likely to slow down and take a look at that ad than if it was for all entrepreneurs in all types of businesses. You know, I'm just gonna be like, well, that's not really talking to me, that's talking to everybody, and you know, it's probably not applicable to me. That's what I'm gonna think. So, but you know, if I see something that's tailored very specifically to me, I'm probably gonna be more likely to slow down and take a look.
Yeah, and you know, one time when you become really aware of that, you know, I live with a wife and a son, and whenever I'm watching their programming, which is almost all the time, because mm-hmm. I never get the remote, and that's fine, I'm always working anyway, but it's either Bravo or cartoons, and the commercials are all either geared towards women, mm-hmm. which is where my wife lives, or of course toys, where my son lives. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes very apparent that that's marketing 101. This is kind of how it's always been. Now, the medium has changed to where it's online. Mm-hmm. And we can get super targeted, which is what we're going to talk a little bit about later, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah.
But, you know, you really have to be thinking about what does your target look like? What do they do? What do they read?
Mm-hmm.
Where do they live? Yeah, you can really dive in with today's tools.
Yeah, and us marketers like to create customer avatars. And a customer avatar is basically, you create a person and make it, you know, a real person, give them a name, and then identify all the attributes of that person.
What's your Zebra Marketing avatar's name?
Oh.
I'm trying to think of the zebra from...
Jenny. I don't know.
What's the zebra from Madagascar? I can't remember.
What is that? I don't know.
I have not named my target client. I'm going to have to go home and name my dream client.
Yeah, I haven't done that either.
Does it have to be the opposite sex? I guess it has to be whichever makes the most
sense.
Yeah,
I mean, it has to be the gender that your ideal client would be.
Yeah, I always get stuck. I get stuck on that whenever I'm targeting. I'm like, do I select male or female? I'm like, I don't really think that's relevant. I mean, I guess in some areas, for my business, it's not.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is that you can have multiple customer avatars.
True.
So you might have three avatars. Maybe like for a certain business, it could be a female millennial who is looking for their first home, and maybe that, you know, maybe it's a real estate agent, and one avatar is that. Maybe another avatar could be a middle-aged dad who just had his third kid and wants to, you know, live in the burbs. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of different
But, you know, the thing about the avatar is you get very specific.
Right.
And, you know, every one of your clients isn't going to be all of those attributes. But that's a way of thinking in your mind, because when you write your messaging or when you send an email or when you put out an ad, you have to remember that you're talking to one person. You might be sending a message to lots of people, but you have to remember that it's being consumed by one person at a time.
Right.
So then you have to think about, well, who is that one person? And
that's a good way to think of it. I mean, you know, one of the things that I think we get caught up in is we assume that our message is being read by everybody at one time, but you're right. It's really just one individual.
Yeah.
And that's a really helpful thing to think about as you're going through that exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So you define them. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, and I was going to say the other thing that you want to think about is people buy from people that they like. So even if you, you know, even if maybe you're a little more expensive or maybe your offer is not quite as complete, if people like you and they want to work with you, they will choose you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and part of likability is, I mean, there's lots of aspects to why you might be likable, but vulnerability and also letting people know what you're about. What is your why? Why do you do what you do? And when people can identify with that, you know, people are more likely to come to you.
Right. No, I couldn't agree with that more. Authenticity shines bright. So once you've figured out who your avatars are and who your clients, you know, how do we get them to come to you? How does that work in your world? How do we get them to find us and ultimately ask us for our business, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the big question I'd want to ask. You know, one of the reasons I ask that is whenever you sell to somebody, you've sold them on your service, you always feel like you have to, the relationship goes like that
mm-hmm.
all the way through. You have to keep selling them, it feels like, and it seems a little out of balance. But if they've found you, if they've asked you for your business because you put the right targeted message to them,
mm-hmm.
then you have, I guess, the foundation for a good, healthy relationship, I think, on both ends.
Yeah.
So how are we attracting those dream clients? What are some things that we could be doing?
Well, I think another tip I would give is find colleagues or find people who are already speaking to your ideal clients, and see if you can speak at their events, or see if you can join their Facebook page and comment on things in there. See if you can, be more involved with, other people who are targeting a similar market.
Right.
Because they've already got a following, and maybe you can kind of piggyback off of that.
Right. So guest blogging, joining their podcasts. Mm-hmm. I set up a few appointments this week to understand. So one of my strategies with the IT business is to get into private equity and help them invest in, manage their portfolio of companies. And I don't know a lot about private equity, a little bit, but I'm speaking with some people who came out of that world.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, can you help me, can I buy you lunch and understand, who I need to be talking to, what the different roles are in the organization?
Mm-hmm.
And one of my questions was, how do I craft my messaging differently to address each of those roles?
Mm-hmm.
So this is B2B, but I've targeted private equity. Now,
yeah.
How do I get specific based on title?
Mm-hmm.
Are based on roles within the organization.
Yeah.
So leveraging people that are already in your network, like you said, that can speak the speak, understand the key terms and,
mm-hmm.
and things that are in that world that can be really helpful.
Yeah, and for example, this evening I'm speaking at a Rice MBA classmates of mine named Roy Johnston. He's having a workshop for entrepreneurs about building sales funnels. And so he's invited me to come speak to his audience. And, his audience is similar to my audience, is entrepreneurs and small business owners. And they want to know how to build sales funnels. And since Roy wasn't, he knows about sales funnels, but he's not an expert specifically in that. So he thought of me and he gave me a call and asked if I wanted to come speak to his group. So that's really awesome. For me, because I'm piggybacking off an audience that he's already built, and all I have to do is show up and bring the content and hopefully make a good impression.
Right. No, guest speaking, it kind of goes back to that article we read last week, Authority Position. I actually spoke to that guy, Mike Saunders, that wrote the article today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're doing, right? You're establishing yourself as credible and as an authority around your area of expertise,
mm-hmm.
which is a great way to attract your dream clients.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're the expert. We want to do business with the expert.
Yeah.
Laura knows what she's talking about. So that's a good example, Laura. Guest speaking is perfect. Coming on as an expert, doing a panel.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if you don't, say you don't have the contacts that can help you get that started, there's no reason you can't start one.
Yeah.
I was just at a panel today of experts at the University of Houston Small Business Development Center. So that's
mm-hmm.
here in Houston. Those are all over the country,
yeah.
Small Business Development Centers, and they are looking for content to bring to people in their areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can go to them and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this panel, and start your own.
Yeah.
So if you feel like you can't latch on to somebody else's, no reason you can't go out and take the initiative,
yeah.
and start one of your own.
And the other thing that's really hot these days is podcasts. Wink, wink.
Yes. Laura and I figured it out, sort of. We're figuring it out as we go.
Yeah. No, I think just if you can create your own podcast, brainstorm a bunch of your, topics, whether it's going to be, are you going to invite guests, or are you going to just do it solo and, generate content and talk on different topics. That's just a really good way of being a thought leader in your industry right now.
Right. Yeah, but that's just it. Be the one, the way I think of it is, you want to be, and it takes time, but you want to be the one that the media comes to. If something major happens in your industry, you
mm-hmm.
want them to find you first and ask
yeah.
for your opinion.
Yeah.
I think, in my opinion, that's when you made it. Until
yeah.
then, you're just, you've got to put the work in, you got to put the time in, guest speaking,
yeah.
podcasts, all the things you got to do,
mm-hmm.
years of that, and... By the way, if somebody contacts you or hits up your feed and respond to them quickly, mm-hmm. Try to keep the conversation going, try to grow that community around your expertise.
Yeah, and I think that's just it is, you know your target market, know who they are, know your avatar if you can create one or three, and talk to them. And do it often and be louder than your competition. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and that does take time. So it takes consistency and it takes time. So building a strategy, what are you going to do? Are you going to have a Facebook group? Are you going to have a podcast? Are you going to do Facebook Lives? Are you going to speak at live events? Are you going to sponsor events? You know, what are the things you're going to do and how? And then come up with a plan and just go after it.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. You know, have your plan of attack, know who you're going after, and execute. And don't give up. Be patient. These things take time, take a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of effort, but they do pay off. Mm-hmm. The more targeted you are, I think the more you'll attract your ideal clients. And by the way, ideal clients means that you can become very profitable because those are your, generally speaking, your most profitable clients, right? Mm-hmm. So one quick one before we get into the book. Okay. What about one quick thought around avoiding the not dream clients?
That's the other thing, like I said, is a lot of people are afraid of being too targeted with their message. Mm-hmm. But that's how you avoid the nightmare clients is when you're not targeted enough with your message or with your offer, you're going to attract people who are not people you want to work with because you're not being specific enough. So part of how you attract your dream client or how you avoid your nightmare client is you target your message and you're very specific and you become laser focused in who you're talking to.
Yeah, I think that's true on the front end, but nonetheless, people, undesirables, are going to find you. And just, you know, one way you can do it, you know, I like to price myself out of their market, right? So I'm very upfront about our services and our rates. And generally, you know, I'm speaking mostly of if they're too small. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just say, hey, this is our rate. It's probably more than you were expecting. And now we'll move on to the next that will be profitable for us. Because mm-hmm. There's no question this is a two-sided relationship, mm-hmm. and you don't want a disconnect on either sides. You don't want them to feel like they're being ripped off, and you don't want to feel like you're delivering your services for too low of a fee.
Yeah.
And so you got to make sure that that's connected. So, of course, all the tips that Laura talked about on the front end, but every now and again, certainly when you're getting started, as I said earlier, you have a tendency to take customers for, I'll discount that rate, and over time, that's obviously not as profitable as having a full book of business around your ideal clients. So you can always fire them with your rates, or give them a rate hike, or you know, bid higher on the next RFP or whatever it is.
So. Yeah, and I think that's a good point too. Is don't be afraid to say no. You know, don't be afraid to say, you know, we've talked together. I've asked you a bunch of questions to understand your business, and you know, I don't think that we are really a good fit.
Right.
Don't be afraid to say that, and also, you know, think about in your network, is there somebody you could refer them to that would be a better fit?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, I've got a couple folks that are in the IT world. They are independent consultants, and that's all they are, and that's all they ever want to be, and that is a perfect fit for the small client.
Yeah, and you have to think about maybe they could be a project, maybe they're going to bring you some money, but how much are you going to suffer from, you know, whatever repercussions of it not being the right fit for your business?
And unfortunately, your ideal clients might suffer too, because they take up just as much time as your ideal clients, and they're stealing from them and their experience that you want to deliver to them.
Yeah, and the other thing is, if that person is a nightmare client, they're not your ideal client, are they just going to be upset? Are they going to, you know, maybe hurt your reputation later on if you didn't do a stellar job for them?
Right.
So.
Okay. So you brought a book, some thought leadership.
Yeah. So I actually won this book at the eWomen Network Conference. It's Lisa Sasevich. Her book is called The Live Sassy Formula.
Sassy.
Make big money and a big difference doing what you love. So that's pretty cool. It says, Lisa Sasevich and 27 sassy entrepreneurs show you exactly how.
I'm a sassy entrepreneur.
So I wanted to highlight... Me too. I wanted to highlight this book because she particularly has a section on... it's called Be the Client You Want to Attract. And her quote is, if you want clients to invest, invest in yourself. And her first sentence is, living sassy is about having the right mindset, being conscious of the fact that how you act in the world gets mirrored back to you. And that's exactly true. When you up-level your investment in yourself, your clients will see that, and your clients can up-level in their investment in you. Mm-hmm. So you can't expect a client to spend $3,000 on a strategy session with you if you're not willing to spend $3,000 on a strategy session for your business. Basically what her chapter here is about, the investment you make in yourself is mirrored back to you in the investment your clients are willing to make in you. Mm-hmm. So,
it makes sense. I mean, in the IT world, it's about, sort of credibility, the certifications that you carry, and are they relevant to your clients? That's a very, I guess, direct way of addressing that, but it's, hey, we have the certifications around enterprise architecture, or we have SAP or HP or Cisco certs that match what your needs are. So not only that, but you like us as a culture and as people, so let's do mm-hmm. business, and it's a good value match.
Yeah. So, if you're willing to invest in your business, I think that is perceived by the people that you're doing business with.
So. Right, and I should suggest that those certifications, those are all time investment and dollar investments you have to mm-hmm. pay to get and keep up with those certifications.
Yeah.
And so that's in our world, that's in the IT world, that's a big thing that we're saying to the market, that we make those investments and we're reputable and you can trust us because of that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So make big money,
woo-hoo.
But make a big difference in doing what you love. Is that what that says?
Yep, the Live Sassy formula with Lisa Sasevich.
Although that's not directly targeted to my avatar, I do agree with that statement. Do what you love, make big money, make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with you, Miss Sassy. Good stuff. So let's get into the fun stuff.
The tech for granted.
Tech for granted. Yeah, I'm real excited to hear a little bit more about this.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk specifically today because we're talking about targeting your ideal customer, finding more of your dream client. Facebook custom audiences and Facebook lookalike audiences. So I'm not sure how many people know this, but you can actually take your existing email list. So say you've got 200 or 500 or even 6,000 or however many of your real customers in your CRM or database or wherever you're keeping track of your customers, you can actually take that list and upload it into Facebook, and Facebook will match and find the people in your real email list or your real customers. And so you can not only either remarket to the people you already do business with, but then you can also create a lookalike audience where you can tell Facebook, find me more people who look like this. So if you already have a database of your customers or people who are really doing business with you, you can tell Facebook, hey, find me more people who look like this. And, theoretically, those people, if they look like the people who already do business with you, should be inclined to do business with you too.
So how does this work? So you said you can upload, I guess, would it be a CSV or a spreadsheet to a place in Facebook?
Yeah, like you can upload, I think it's a CSV file. I've done it before, but now I can't remember
did. Uh-huh.
But yeah, I think you download a CSV file out of your CRM, whatever you're using, and then you upload it into Facebook. And Facebook actually matches. In my experience, it's usually depending on how old or how good your data is, some 70% of your list.
Wow.
And they match on all sorts of criteria, like the name, phone number, location, you know, someone's address, their email address. So, you know, if all you have is name and phone number, you can still try it. If all you have is name and email, you can try that. If all you have is name, address, you know, whatever it is, you can try whatever data that you do have.
And so where, and remind me again, where do you go in Facebook? Is that easy to get to, easy to navigate to?
So if you have a business page, you really need a, you need a Facebook page to be able to run ads. Mm-hmm. So the best way, if you're a business, is to create a you know, create your Facebook page and then manage it in Business Manager. So Business Manager is a good resource for businesses to be able to, you know, manage their page, run ads, and if you go into your Business Manager, you can go into ads, and then you can choose when you're creating your ad, you can actually choose create a custom audience.
Mm-hmm. Familiar with that process, and then there's a place where you can upload.
Yeah, when you create a custom audience, it'll prompt you to upload your file.
Okay. I've done a little bit of that work. Maybe it's been long enough. Is this fairly new, or am I just not vigilant enough to pick up on these things?
It's somewhat new, but it's been around for a little while now. But I think it's becoming more and more popular, and especially they call it retargeting. So, so say I made an offer, I don't know, on my website or at an event or wherever, on another Facebook ad, I could actually, you know, basically record, okay, 300 people purchased this product or service.
Right.
And then I could actually take that list and drop it back into Facebook and then market something else to those people. Like, say I wanted to market a conference or a workshop ticket to everyone who purchased my, I don't know, $97 online course or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can just drop that list of everyone who purchased that online course back into Facebook and market
directly to those
people.
And people that look like them.
Yeah, and people that look like them.
Yeah, that's pretty handy. That's really very, very targeted. Mm-hmm. And so if you're at, it's a way to get to your avatar or their cousins all over the internet. So
mm-hmm.
Good stuff. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I see we've still got, you know, fox ears and dumbbells over here going on.
Yeah, man.
I don't know.
1001, 1002.
This is the first time it's like Snapchat filters going on Facebook Live now.
I say we do all of our podcasts with that. But so it's been extra fun today. I really enjoyed the topic. I learned some stuff on Facebook, so I'm excited to go out and try those tools. And it's always fun spending time with you, Laura. So.
Yeah, awesome. Great. Great podcasting with you today, Brian.
It was good podcasting with you. This is Big Ideas for Small Business.
Yep.
Y'all go out and close some business.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Central Texas rains the strongest drink I've found.
Thank you for listening to Big Ideas Small Business. Follow us at BISB Media and visit our website at www.bisbmedia.com.